Memtesima Beis, about 10 lines down or 9 lines down. Amr Rabbi Law, Amr Reish Lakish, Rashum Rabbi Huda, Bar Chanina, and the Gerson said it's Rabbi Yossi. Ba'usha Hiskinu, so when the Sanhedrin, after they left Yerushalayim, the Sanhedrin Hagadol, eventually they ended up in the city of Usha. And while they were in the city of Usha, they made the following tikkunim: She Adam Zon is Bonov Vespinoisov Kishem Kitanim, that there's a person has a chiyuv to give support to his children as long as they're minors, all the way up to the age of the halachic majority. Sibor Luhu, Hilzakabase or Ain Hilzakabase. So is this we have a law quoting this tikkunim? Is that the correct version of what happens, or not? So there was this obviously, if the Sanhedrin made that tikkun, that would be the halacha. But is this the definitive version? Toshma, he also commanded Rav Yehuda when we would have the situation where we'd be brought to Rav Yehuda. So Amar Lahu, so Yehuda would not force, which would be on, if this was the tikkun of Usha of the Sanhedrin, so then it would be enforceable. But rather, he would tell them, in the sense of expressing his distress with what they were doing, but he wasn't forcing them to pay. Yarad Yolda Vavnei Masa Shadya. So this bird is giving birth to children, and then Yared was considered to be or some type of animal which is known to be cruel to its children. So this animal over here is giving birth. And then he throws responsibility onto the city. So he was saying that he was expressing his displeasure with their actions and they're not supporting their children. He wasn't making an enforceable embezzlin. So it indicated that it wasn't a tekana to the point that it was enforceable. He had also the commander of Christo. Okay. So he would do something similar. Amar Lahu, a little more intense. Kavalei Asisa B'Tzibura. Sit down a place for him to sit down where the tzibur is. Okay. And Balekum, get up. Balemo Urba Boy Banei Halgabale Boy Banei. Even the Arev. He's interested in taking care of his children, but this person is not. Morris says, really? The pasuk says in Tillim that the children of the Arev, of the raven, call out to Hashem because the Marshal takes care of them, because the parents don't. So here you're saying that even the Arev takes care of his children. Our answer is Lakasha, Habachivri. So when they're born, the raven is black. When the child is born, it's not. So if the parents don't recognize it, and therefore they're not interested in it. When it turns black, they take care of it. Okay, Kihab also committed the rubber. The same situation would come to rubber. Do you want your children to be supported by tzedakah? Like, what are you thinking? So the more, but now the more says, that which we say that Bezit is not enforcing the tekana of Usha, or not saying the tekana of Usha has full force. That's all I'm talking about. The loy omer, the person, it's not something which we estimate he can handle it. I will omit a person who's wealthy, kafina late al kirche. We would actually force him to support. Kihop. Kiha the Rava Kafi the Rav Nosson by Ami Babik Mine Dal Me Zuzi the Tztaka. Now the situation over there, where there was not an issue with the children, but you see that he made a calculation how much he thinks that this person should give the Tztaka, and he took it against the person's will. So that's true. For Tztaka purposes, that would definitely be true for the purposes of support for the children.
Forcing them to give tzedakah.
Okay. The prices over here, raises the question, and in general, we have a rule when it comes to the din of kfiya, bez, enforcing something upon somebody. It doesn't apply to a mitzvah saseh, which the Torah says what the reward is. The Torah describes the reward. We assume in general that bezin is not, since most people will respond to that, so bezin in general doesn't get involved in enforcing that. So why are we doing over here? So this is, either means that they did it with the warden. He just spoke to him. He didn't physically take it away from him, but he told him he has to do this. He pressured him. This is, or alternatively, that there is in power of the bezin to estimate how much tzedakah everybody has to give for the month, because the bezin has a right to calculate the needs of the city. And then once it becomes like a standardized amount that we're expecting for each person and what they can afford, etc., if a person will not be giving that, they would actually take it away from him. And Tosfos ties it into a very important Gemara. There, this is a Gemara in Baba Basra in the first parak. Baba there says, "Rishon ben Yair lahasiya al kitzoson," that there is a power for the members of the city to make calculations of what needs to be given, and they have a power to enforce that. So one of the discussions was much of the whole discussion of the rights for taxation, fines, those type of things. So you even specifically in a country which is democratic, the simple understanding is it goes based on this Gemara over there. The city has, people have a power to enforce the calculations that they made that people have to give. That's how city works. So it's true by city, it's true by country also. In general, the country was under a ruler, so the ruler would have his authority. We don't have rulers.
Why couldn't you just extrapolate just a real small amount and just say, well, that applied to any Jewish institution that's depending on money? Sure, we depend on...
No, because over here the point is it's the members of the city. And so as part of living in the city is that you're going to be... So the city is empowered to take care of its needs. So, because you live in the city, if you want to live in the shul, maybe the shul would be able to.
No, but you could. Okay.
It's the city which has the power. It's not. It'd be great if you ever do that. Take care of a lot of my fundraising headaches. Okay.
I don't stand on this Gemara because we start off saying, well, okay, they're not kofa, but then they say, well, yeah, but you are kofa when. The people are wealthy. Well, the people can't afford it. They're not wealthy, so then I understand what's the Musar Shmuz that's given to them. They can't afford it. I mean, it sounds like onus devarim. I mean, but.
No. I mean, we're not talking for a person that's impoverished. So you go work harder. You go make more money. You know, take care of your kids.
In the middle.
And then there's the wealthy person. We're just taking money out of him. I mean, this din over here is din stuck. This is the Nekviel Stok. That's the worst tying into that story with the Rav Basser. The wealthy person, not tying it to the halacha of Usha, we're tying it to the halacha of Stok. They are needed, and you're the person with the closest person to them, so we're going to take that, give the responsibility of Stok to you. Let's see Rashi. Usha Hiskino. Because Yosef Sanhedrin Gozis, when the Sanhedrin which was from the list of the Gozis had left the Beis HaMikdash, Be'usha, in the city of Usha, Shehi Achas Mi Eser Golia Shagosa Sanhedrin. Can I remember Rosh Hashanah? The Sanhedrin went through 10 stages in its exile. So it when it was in the city of Usha, it made this takana. They'd have to support the children, Kshem Katanim, Achiyabiyu, Cyrus, until they became, they reached physical maturity.
When they first went after Yerushalayim, they were in Yavne, right?
No, actually, Yavne was not the first.
So were they always sort of on the run? I mean, it says you just...
The Morse says there were 10 stages.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know how long they were in each one of the places. There was a period of time. It looks like they went back and forth a little bit, you know. Toshma. The Morse says, so this version that the Rabbi Law is saying is not accepted halachically. El Memer Minole. We speak to them. We speak to them, but we don't force it. Yard is a tannin. It's this reptile. It says oin tanim. It's like meaning mother yaroidin. So this animal is cruel or disregards the children's needs. Yard yolda, but they must have shad. Hatan and Harlan told their sob. Vital part of the son of a year. He gives birth to children. Then he goes and asks the city for the support. Couple has Sisa. So what do a couple of teshes al piyah? Take this large mortar, turn it upside down. Have the guy stand in it. So now he's high up. Shishmu karloi, and he will, what he says will be heard. Yaakov's alatzmi has announced Shuramin Arbim is worse than the ravens. The Arva boy bane, Arva with all of its reputation of being a cruel bird, cares about his children. Helgar really boy bane doesn't want his children, doesn't care about his children. That's not the person himself, but the bezin would appoint somebody to do this. And they would announce about that person. They are Rabbi Shigro. The Barshim takes care of them because the bird is not doing any. Versus dependent whether it was black or white. Uchmi, when it gets older, it turns black. Then the parents care about it. When they're younger, Levonim, they're white. But Sederim say they don't like them. Sederim's son. Lord Martin, that much we don't force. Ella Duli Omed, Shano Osha, he's not rich. But if he's rich, we take him on Karakai. Hey, Ella, the stock of Alma is not worse than stock of Afilo Edenbani. They're not a children. We can enforce stock of. He held the rubber calf, yelled stock of. The rubber forced Rabbi Nosson Barami to take a foreigner Zeus to stock of. I mean, that's a. Okay.
So I understand why is the takana not in force? I mean, in other words, was it?
He's saying that his version of the takana, that it was a full fledged takana, is not correct. The Morse, we're not accepting his version.
Okay, so it's a versionist.
That's the thing. The Morse, because Morse lashon hilchos kibosei or not? What do you mean hilchos kibosei? They made a takana. They made a takana. I think that's part of the question. Okay. Amar Rabbi Elah, Amar Ish Lakish. So again, it's this time not the name of Rabbi Yossi, but straight. It's Abushi Skinu. A Kosev called the Kosev Lebanov, person who would write over all of his property to his children. Right now, so who be ishto nizorin mehem? So even though he gave over all the property to the children, immediately they can't turn around and use it against them and refuse to support the parents. The parents have full rights of support. Okay. So even though he really gave it away to them and they did a kenyan, etc., but they can against the will of the children they can get support. Maskevlo Rabbi Zeira, Vitema Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. So he asked the question. We have a statement which is even more than this, which is Amana Nizarnas Minichosav, that even his Amana, Chazal say, will get support from the property. So who Ishtami boy? So the father passes away, all the property goes to the children. So they don't own it any more now than they would own it in that type of situation. And still the halacha is, the Amana gets support. So when he's alive and he's married, and he's so that his wife and he should get support, isn't it obvious? The Shalach Rabban Bigarte, because we have a Rabban which says, wrote in a letter, Misha Meis, Miniach Amana Ubas, first one who died, and left over an Amana and a daughter. So Amanasa Nizanis Minchasov. So the Amana gets support. Nisis Abbas Amanasa Nizanis Minchasov. Mesa Habas. Omer Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda, Ben Achosa Shor B'Yosef Bar Chanina, Rav Yehuda, who was the nephew, the son of the sister of B'Yosef Bar Chanina, said, "Ayodi Hoya Maisa." I had a situation like that which came about through me, and it was brought to Bezdin. Vamru, Amanosha Nizanas Ben Achosav. So even those situations, the Amana gets support. Okay. So who be Ishtami boy? Is there any Havamina that he and his wife should not get support? Okay. So Morris says yes. Now let's get back to what was the skittish over here of the case that we're saying. Well, let's finish up the thought over here. Malo Tema. Husband who deleka the Torah, yes, because once the husband dies, there's nobody to go out and produce, and take care of the woman's needs. So we're not for the Tekana Busha. We would argue that we say, listen, you're alive, you can go to work. The kids can say to the father, listen, you gave over the property to us, go to work. So you need support, fine. Go to work and take care of yourself and your wife. Kamash Malon, that the caller said that he has the right to get support. So what was this? What was this case over here, Rabban? Let's see, Rashi. Who be Ishtu and his own again? If he'll cost me Akshav, even if he gave over the property immediately, not to take effect after he passes away, whatever, the children will take immediate ownership. What minadin, it doesn't belong to him anymore, and they have no key of support. But as the tekana is coming here, that's part of the tekana. Because they said a case is even more than this. You got an almana, ubas, his almana, or his and with the daughter. Mrs. Abbas, the daughter gets married. Ashava Bisha, who mays? Benishtabdu Nechazim Mishtabdu Lekeach. The Rabbanu Kagan Baal Menitzi Ishtay, the Kaman Ematzim, the Muslim Isham in Nechazim Mishubadim. So, So, because what's the relationship between the when it take away from his property? So the Gemara says that if a husband has so the daughter gets the Yerusha. The daughter gets married, so now the daughter gets married, so all of the property belongs, her property goes over to the husband. The husband's rights in the wife's property, Chazal gave, you know, dealt with it, is an interesting relationship of the husband's rights in the wife's property.
And the father's still alive.
No, the husband died. The father died. The father died, left over an Amon and a daughter. So the daughter is Yerush, her father.
She gets remarried, but the mother's still alive.
She gets married.
She gets married, but right. The mother's still alive.
So now she owns the property of the father. She's the Yerush. Now she gets married, so her property belongs to her husband. Comes along her mother and says, "Well, it was my husband's property. I want to get support." So what happens now? So the right is that the woman has a right to support. Mona has a right to support from her husband's property. Even though there's a Yerush, be a son or a daughter, it doesn't make a difference. The woman has the right to support. But now that the daughter gets married, so the property doesn't belong to her, it belongs to her husband. So that right is complicated. Why is it complicated? Because the one thing we don't give the woman a right to do is to take support from property which has a lien on it, there's a chayv on it. Or it's theoretically her skus in the property goes before anybody else's. So that she gets married, you know, years and years back. So that right starts. That her right to this get support from the property takes effect then. Later on, the husband sells a piece of property. So the husband passes away. The woman says, "You bought the property, but I had first rights." So they can't do that. Why? Because it's impossible to sell anything, because this is an open-ended type of a schus. You calculate the amounts, right? So how are you going to do that? So anybody ever bought anything? So she said, I had the first rights, which she did, right? But then no property will ever be sold. So Chazal said that the mona can't get support from the chasim shabbatim. Properties which have been sold already, she can't argue. She has a shibud first, and she has a right to get it. So now the daughter takes it over. Then the daughter gets married. Chazal say Baal Benichsa Ishtoi is like a lekeach. So a husband's rights and his wife's property. So we'll see exactly more later on. Right? They gave it. They gave him to strengthen his rights. After his wife passes away, he's the Yerush. While he's alive, he gets the status of a purchaser in his wife's property. So now the son-in-law, the daughter's husband, purchases this property. Comes the money and says, "Well, I want to collect from the property." Yeah, but the property is now sold. And sitting by the daughter, it's a Yerusha. So the mother has, the Almana has rights to get support from all of the Yerusha. But it's not Yerusha anymore because it's been sold to her husband. This daughter got married. So what do we do?
Does the Almana have the right to get a portion of the payros of the daughter? Meaning the daughter. My understanding is that the daughter who gets married, even though she gives the property to the husband, she gets the payros or the produce of that property while she's married to keep her going. So can the almana claim a portion of that?
So actually the halacha is that she doesn't really get it, but what happens is the husband gets it and has the chiyuv to give her support. She doesn't really get it.
Okay, right. All right. But can she get a claim on that? Can she get a part of that?
Well let's see. So that's the word is dealing with. So you have the there's an Amon and a Bas. The man passed away, and he left over a widow and a daughter. This is a Bas. And then the daughter gets married. So Abishah, who mates, even though the father has died, but a chosin mishtabdu l'keach, And now the property has been is under a status of being owned by a lekeach. The rabbanon, this is the kadosh rabbanon. Kigayin baal benichs eishtay. Chazal said that the relationship of a husband in his wife's property is that he's considered a lekeach. The kaimalon, we have a rule ematzin lemozan ishim minachosim shabbat, that the woman cannot, the amona cannot go and get her support from the chosim shabbat for property which has been sold. Now, so over there, the Mishnah says over there, why they take an arlo? The reason why that's so, because otherwise you're undermining a lot of the economy. It would become very difficult to buying and selling, etc. Very difficult. So Rashi says, maybe you'll tell me that that's over there where they take an arlo. But over here, it's not like the person went out and laid out money and bought something and saying, okay, now you know years later, all of a sudden my property has been taken away from me. The amona has rights to get support from the husband's estate, as long as she stays in her state of widowhood and she lives in, stays. She remarries, she loses that right. She asks for her ksuba, she collects her ksuba, she loses her right. She just says, "I'm not ready to collect my ksuba yet. I'm just ready to happen to be supported." So one woman says she gets 25 years. One woman says it's forever. So the guy bought a property, then 20 years after the husband, the seller dies, he bought it 20 years before the seller died. 40 years later, it comes this woman and says, "I'm taking it away." Like, you know, what are you going to do? You can't. So Tikkun Olam, it's not, but over here, I mean, the daughter is the Yereshes. The husband marries, understanding that there's a mother-in-law and he's got to support her, okay? So, you know, like, it's not, he didn't add any money and buy something, you know, build on it, whatever. Rashi, no. There's no concern for tikkun olam in this scenario. He didn't spend any money in buying this property. And the average lekeach bought it, he spent money, and now he's losing it. That's a problem. There's nobody, and there's no, he can't go back to his seller to get support, get compensated. The seller's dead, right? But over here, he didn't lend any money. So. So here we're saying, we're arguing that, so Chazal gave it that even though there's no tikkun olam and the Baal B'nitza Ishtar is in Lekeach, and therefore she should not be able to collect from the property from which the daughter owns as Yerusha, because her husband, she got married, she had the suah and it belongs to the husband. But Chazal stepped in. We gave the husbands of the daughter the status not of a lekeach, but as if he has it through Yerusha. And if he has it through Yerusha, his wife's alive. But if he has it through Yerusha, so then the mona has the right to get support from the Yerusha. So if that's true, that Chazal, we're going to do this and to allow the mona to get support, so for sure, he and his wife, when they're alive, for sure. That was the worst question. So Rabban said, the first part about, in his letter, the following case. So a person died, left over an amon and a daughter, and the amon gets support. This is Abbas. Even though Chazal said that when a man gets married, doesn't sue him, he gets the status of a lekeach, a purchaser, and all the wife's property, which means if the woman sells afterwards. So why is it relevant that he has to school to get all the property? What's it relevant? Because it's relevant like this. The Baal is Yerush's wife. So gets married, they live together for 50 years, wife passes away, sees the Yerush. She sold the property 20 years ago. Nothing to be Yerush. She sold it already. Husband says, no, I'm the Lekeach. I bought it first. I bought it 40, 50 years ago. So any sale she would make, he has first rights. So they gave him the status of being a Yerush when the wife dies, but they also gave him the status of being a Lekeach immediately when he gets married. So now he's a Lekeach. So, and the woman has no right to go collect from property which has been sold to get support. So that should be, therefore, the Almona should no longer be able to get support from the property. They downgraded the husband's status to give the husband only status of not of a Lekeach but of a Yarish, to allow the Almona to get support instead of the Almona because of the need of the Almona. That's how the Moran Bas explains this thought. So that's true by the Almona, Sehuva Ishtai, Shehu Kayim, he's alive. Ve'lo Bonav Heim. They didn't land out any money. He gave them a present, and now he wants to get support. We said, listen, the children's status is of a Yerush, so he has first rights. Me boy. Now, so Rashi says, one second. So what are you telling me? So what would be the scenario where the Almana, going back to the Almana case, the husband had not sold the properties, the husband had gifted the properties. So we say, we come to the Almana comes, I need support, and there's only properties left, and whatever my husband's estate is gone, and he gifted this property to you 20 years ago, I'm going to start collecting support from it. Right? He said, well, that's it. You know, we've had it for 20 years. Yeah, but it was a gift. And what, you didn't lay out any money. Lay out money, I understand, but it's a gift. Rashi says, no. The Mor says over there that Matana is Kemecher. Right? Regards to the Yeshibut, regards to this halakha, that Amana does not get support from the items which have been given away, it applies well, even in the case of Matana. Hasim who the ilav the Ovid le nicha the lenavshe lo yoyev le Matana. The Mor says, why? Because every Matana really is like a Mecher. Why would I give somebody a piece of property? Not talking about children. The children, they're Yarshim, the case over there, right? The husband died. So the kids got it because they're Yarshim. But why do you give somebody a gift? Because you feel that somewhere the person has given you something, in some way has benefited you. That's why you want to give a gift back. So every gift really is a payment for something the person gave you. So it functions like a Mecher, the Mor says. Whereas that's for everybody else. But a child, you might give a gift because they're a child. Nothing to do with the fact that they bought it, quote unquote, they paid you in some way. So that we don't say the matana given to the child would preclude the. So if the father says, listen, I know that my wife gets support. My almana, I don't like my wife, but I'm passing first. And Suva says she gets support. So I have a great idea. I'll gift all my property to my children before I die. And this way, when I die, she can't collect from Chasm Shabbat, but it applies to Matana as well. Like Rashi, no, that wouldn't be true. Because that's talking about regular Matana, but the Matana to a child doesn't have that power.
What if he gave it to just a friend? And then the woman would get nothing.
She couldn't get support.
Matanos, what don't have that?
Kids.
Mesa Habas. Then Robin continued and said, So he gave over to the left arm of the daughter. She gets married. The mama gets support. Mesa Habas. Ubala Yarsha. So now the husband gets his rights to the wife's property now through the process of Yerusha. Yerusha, the one that says, oh, Yerusha, my daughter was Yerush, my husband's property, and now you're Yerush, the daughter. So now I have a right to get support. So what happens over there? Amadosha Shalvi Abbas, Nizanus Minachosa. Well, I'm reading Ish Nachri, who's that? He's not related. He's not the Yarsha of the father. El Shalishtoi, Olius is getting it through his wife. He's really like a foreign person who came in and purchased the rights to get something. And we don't give the woman support from that. We don't say that. We say, no, the money gets support even in that situation. So Moritz says, over here for sure. Moritz says, no, husband with the Lord, like the Torah, come Shemais Baalot. She doesn't have a husband anymore. The husband died. The Zakat. They made a Zakat to make sure that she had support. He's still alive. We say, listen, go take care of. Go to work and support yourself and your wife. Kamash Malon, that they're quoting, that Usha said no. So the Mori Barlahu. So again, is this an accepted version of what of this takana or not? Toshma, Reb Chanina, Redison Habikaimi. So Reb Chanina and Reb Redison were standing. Also, Gabra Gochin Menashkel Reb Yonasan Akari. He came and he kissed Reb Yonasan on his foot. So Amalei Reb Chanina my high. So Reb Chanina asked Reb Yonasan, like you know, what's going on over here? Amalei. So Kaisim the Chasim the Bonav, who he wrote off all his property to his children. And I forced the children to support him. Apparently, the children were refusing to give him support, and I forced the children to give support. So Moritz says like this: I seen you. So if he used Rashi says he used force. He put pressure on the children, forced them to do it. So Moritz says, if that wasn't the halacha, we understand what he's done over here. Eliyahu Medina, so I seen a boy, why do you have to do it? Just go to Bezin, and Bezin will just take away the property. So they didn't have to use force. Force could be... the same, the sugya of a kfiyas aget is referred to as this process of being asesino. Seems to be close Rashi and Tosfos over here, was it with force or just with words? Okay. Shirashi. Bottom line. Go back in Rabbi Loi's statements. So Akari El Ragli, he kissed him on his foot. I pressured them. Because I went above and beyond to make sure that he got his support. He holds me dear and he wanted to kiss me. We didn't know who. Shakarcha Yishpur Emes. What did Reb Yonasan do specially? He did the halacha. So why would the person say, "I feel you know this type of indebtedness, this type of reaction"? Tosis says, just points over the top. Tosis says, "Ha'isit Sarach Lemer at the Hanu B'Dvorim." Tosis says it doesn't mean physical. The more hasn't we have cases of Isui Aget, where they would actually physically force the person to give a get. He has to say Rotsani, but like an army, you know, we volunteer you, right? No, we force him to say Rotsani. You know, would you like want to give your wife a get? No, hit him. Okay, you want to give your wife a get? No, hit him. You know, yeah, I want to give your wife a get. Oh, great. Okay, that's a good. You know, so there's a din of isui a get, but over here it doesn't mean like that. It just means, again, it's very limited when you can do that.
It's interesting, by a get you can, but a guy's starving and his kid's got his money, there you can't.
Well, I mean, there is an element over here of something that the person did, which is not the most intelligent thing in the world. He wrote his property over to his kids. Who he asked him to do that? It wasn't because he was hiding it from taxes, like we have in America. It's because... It's not, like, okay. It's all it here.